Good morning and welcome to our chapel service today. Today we welcome the Bethany Auxiliary who is present with us, which may help to explain why it's hard to find a seat as you're coming in the back. I ask that you would take out your hymn book and please turn to page 41 in the front portion. Page 41 in the front, you will find there the opening prayer. And let us use that today as we begin our worship together. O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray you to open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that through the preaching of your word, we may be taught to repent of our sins, to believe on Jesus in life and death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. Our scripture lesson for this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the congregation at Philippi, the first chapter, beginning with the third verse. And let us rise to hear these words as follow in our Lord's name. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. That last sentence may be a very familiar passage to us. It's used in a certain order of service in the Lutheran Church where we have what is called individual absolution. If you've never observed one of these services, Just in the same way people would come up for communion, they would come up and kneel at the altar at the time of the absolution to receive the forgiveness of sins. And each individual would kneel down, and the pastor goes along and places his hand on the head of each individual and pronounces the forgiveness of sins. But then at the conclusion of each table of communicants that come up for this, he expresses that passage. He says, "May he who has begun the good work in you carry it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. Peace be with you. Amen." And I remember as a child always thinking that was such a special moment in the service. And as a pastor, being able to declare that to people. That little Bible passage has so much in it. We sometimes talk about certain passages in Scripture like John 3:16 that just contain so much. Think about that passage. It says that the work of faith that's in our hearts, God is the one who put it there. He started it. It's not by our own doing. It's also that God now is going to be the one who's going to sustain this faith in us. In fact, it's saying there he's going to carry it out to completion on the day that our Lord Jesus returns. What a beautiful gospel promise that is every time that service is conducted. Now, those words were first written by St. Paul to this little congregation in Philippi. Philippi was a city up in northeastern Greece, Macedonia, off the Aegean Sea. It was a city that was probably originally named for the father of Alexander the Great. Caesar Augustus, hundreds of years later, had declared it to be a Roman colony. And St. Paul had gone there on one of his journeys to conduct mission work and had worked among probably a small group of people initially, bringing them the wonderful gospel and the knowledge of Christ as their Savior. And Paul now was back in Rome and being held as a prisoner. And this little congregation, some think it may have been the first congregation established in Europe, this little congregation now sends him a gift to support him and to help him and to show them their love and affection for him, that he had brought them to know who Christ was. It's interesting that bond that gets created so often between a missionary or a pastor and the people that he serves, especially in a new congregation like this when it starts out. There's such a freshness to that relationship and a fondness that they have for each other. And having been rescued together, you might say, through the work of the gospel, they come to appreciate those relationships. Talk to World War II veterans who maybe because of a bombing on their ship had to get onto a life raft. Talk to those guys 60 years later and you'll find they still have this intense bond and love for each other, that they survived that ordeal together. And there's a great bond that the gospel brings like this as well for us. The gospel not only creates faith in our hearts to trust in Christ as our Savior, but it also creates this unity. It creates a fusion together, an adhesiveness, if you will, that brings people together who love Christ. Listen to how Paul writes to this congregation again. He says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." They had all come to appreciate the same wonderful truth. Martin Luther said this, "Whoever possesses and rightly understands the gospel has the highest treasure anyone can have in this world." And talk to foreign missionaries who've had a chance to go out into remote places in the world and bring the wonderful message of salvation to people. And the fondness that they have for some of those first people that they worked with. The connections in their heart that they have for these people, and likewise the people back to those missionaries. Or even here in the United States, when pastors go out and establish new congregations, and you'll find that same type of bond that takes place. A few years ago, a young man came to see me in my office, and I had forgotten about this. I knew who he was, but I had forgotten that God had used me as the very one to bring him to the knowledge of the gospel. And he reminded me of how years earlier, almost 20 years earlier, that I had been the one that asked him some very pointed questions about how to get to heaven, because at the time he thought it was because of how good he was. And I showed him passages that was not the case, and that it could only happen through Christ and what Christ had done for us. And he appreciated that so much that he wanted to come back and express that to me. At the time of the Reformation, when the gospel went out as well, it created its own followers. It created its own church, if you will. It caused a unity to be established around it by all of those who came to appreciate that beautiful doctrine of justification, that God has declared us righteous for the sake of Jesus, his Son. God is the author of this faith in each one of us, and he's the author also then of that unity and that fellowship that comes from that. And it creates a desire then in those who it touches to go and support the work of the church. Unlike earthly inheritances, where the more people get involved in it, the less you appreciate it because you might get a smaller portion, when it comes to the heavenly inheritance, it's just the opposite. The more people that get to come to know about this and have their name in God's will, the more joy there is in the church and appreciation for adding those names. That's why Paul says he is making this request for all of you with joy. I remember an old pastor at a pastor's conference said this once, to paraphrase him. He said, "In general, the happiest members of my church tend to be the ones who are most involved in supporting the work of the gospel." And I think pastors will tell you that's true. The ones who typically feel the most blessed and joyful and happy are the ones that are the most intensely involved in the support of the gospel. Certainly, the work of the gospel in this world can be challenging at times, but God has made sure to make sure that it's a work of joy. It's not drudgery for us. And it's rare that you will find a pastor who doesn't enjoy the work of his office. And it's because there is a future, there is a foretaste now of the future joy that we will have in heaven, just in the same way as we hear beautiful choirs sing of God's grace to us as well. And here's what I really appreciate about this as well. This love that believers in Christ have for each other is also a sign that the faith in us is genuine. We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. We pray. O Lord, we render unto you our heartfelt thanks that you have taught us what you would have us believe and do. Help us, O God, by your Holy Spirit, for the sake of Jesus Christ, to keep your word in pure hearts, that we thereby may be strengthened in faith, perfected in holiness, and comforted in life and death. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, and I'd like to welcome you all to campus on behalf of the student body. My name is William Soule. I'm a junior from Princeton, Minnesota, and I was elected to be the student body president for this academic year. There are instantly parts of college that we as Bethany students, all of you up in the choir and everyone in the crowd, will associate with. We'll remember certain parts about why we went to this college, certain things that'll stick in our memory. In fact, over Fall Festival, I had a chance to talk to some alumni that went to Bethany. I talked to one alum who said, honestly stated that he probably didn't remember a lot of what he heard in class, but he definitely remembered distinctly how to exactly pour one scoop of popcorn into the popcorn bag from the popcorn machine in the V. And then he still remembers this very clearly, and that every day after chapel, he would make his daily trek over to get his bag of popcorn. Now, hopefully this is an isolated story, and most of us remember what we learned in class, but it still is important regardless. He remembers that one special part about our campus. I talked to another alum who had perhaps a more heartfelt or heartwarming story. They said they had one semester in which they were taking 21 credits of varsity sport, choir, and student senate, all at the same time. And that after studying for a few hours in the library in one of the study rooms, you just simply start hearing things and seeing things that you really start to doubt your sanity after a while. And she said that she probably wouldn't have made it through that semester, but then she discovered the lab. See, for her, the lab was the perfect blend of absolute chaos and at the same time a place where she could study and relax with other people. She survived and got good grades and went on to be successful because of the lab. Now, what do those two things have in common? Something as mundane as a popcorn maker and something as prominent as the lab? They are both directly contributed by the Bethany Auxiliary. The Bethany Auxiliary has contributed multiple things around campus, including graphics tablets for art students, the furniture and the artwork in Hunzi Hall, and many other things that we all use. But this is why it's important. Too often we think of a donation as some sort of dollar amount or a bullet point on an admissions brochure, but that's not actually what it really is. Those things are part of cultivating a collegiate experience, a human experience. We all will remember these things that are part of our college, that made our little college so special. In the future, will I honestly be able to remember to prove that the set 1 over X is open and closed and is a subset of a larger set? That was a math joke for the few professors out there that got it. Good for you. Hopefully, but there's a chance it might slip my mind. However, will I remember discussing in the lab at midnight whether Hieronymus Bosch, the author, was completely insane or not? Probably. The Auxiliary has donated things that are not just part of our college. They are part of the thousands of students that have come through Bethany and remember every single one of those parts of our college to this day. So welcome to campus. Enjoy your stay. Please talk and ask questions to the students around you. But may God bless you all, and may God bless this college. Thank you.